Coming down the aisle at a combined weight of 436 pounds, the team of Jeffrey Martin, Brian Berga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
You are listening to the High Spot Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast and all our social media platforms. Follow us on the Facebook page, Instagram, Snapchat, as well as our website, highspotpodcast.com. I am Jeff Martin alongside the Trendsetter, also our association with B Plus Player Radio Network. Thanks a lot, Mark Adam Haggerty. Trendsetter, how you doing, man? Very tough week to come in here and do the show because wrestling lost a legend in Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Yes, it did, Jeff, and a very somber note to start the show off with, but we have to. I mean, considering the fact that how much history, how much contribution a guy like Bobby the Brain Heenan has meant on this business, a very sad day, but there's no question in my mind. You listen to all the people responding on Twitter, all the people responding on social media. It's always the same thing of not just how much of a comedic wit that we all remember Bobby the Brain Heenan of having, but basically he was probably, without a doubt, I can't even say the word probably. There is no argument considering he is the one of the best managers there ever was in professional wrestling. And for a guy like Bobby the Brain Heenan and his famous quote, "You listen to me, you go to the top. You don't listen to me, you're never heard from again." We will never forget the name of Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Bobby the Great Heenan, I don't think there's a question to me is the greatest manager of all time. Of course, everyone puts up the Mount Rushmores, and you know, you have your Mount Rushmores of wrestlers and also, you know, your first ladies in pro wrestling. What about managers? I mean, he definitely, to me, would be the first manager that I would have put up there on the Mount Rushmore. I honestly don't think, for the time I've been watching wrestling, I mean, this is why it hit hard for me the most, is because Bobby the Brain was just an institution. And I mean, on and off camera, probably one of the funniest guys, and always was on and always tried to make you laugh, always tried to make the best of any kind of situation. And Bobby the Brain Heenan, man, I'm telling you, a lot of people, I mean, we were speaking to Gino Gotz last time at WrestlePro, and he, you know, takes a little bit from Bobby Heenan. I think everyone does. And when you talk about, you know, him on camera and just his quick wit, a lot of what you see today now can be attributed to Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Hey, you look at some of the great managers out there, Jeff, Captain Lou Albano, Classy Freddie Blassie, though he took Jesse Ventura's career right down the toilet. All of them had the ability of promoting the group or the individual they were managing. But I always felt it was always about them because they had such a huge name and moniker. Bobby the Brain Heenan was actually, to me, the first guy that, you know, yes, he wanted to be a wrestler, but he actually wanted to be a manager. And I think he elevated more for the fact that, yes, he was very comedic. We laughed at him. We called him Weasel as a sense of admiration towards him, towards the tail end of his career in WWE and WCW. But it was more that he helped elevate the talent higher than they could ever expect to be. And when you're part of that Heenan family, that was what a family to be a part of. The Heenan family, it will be known to me in the annals of professional wrestling as one of the greatest stables out there, because it was the who's who of individuals, not only tag teams like the Brain Busters, for example, and Mr. Perfect,
was Rick part of Rude.
Rick Rude as well. So many great stories there. But again, he did the utmost of elevating that talent, unlike other individual managers where you knew who they were and they helped their talent by association. Bobby the Brain Heenan worked so hard to help that talent make their mark on their own.
Let's not forget to mention his biggest client that he managed in Andre the Giant. And you talk about WrestleMania 3, and before we get to that, talk about the heat that automatically being aligned yourself with Bobby the Brain Heenan, you definitely had the heat. So you basically, you know, came in there, and not only did you make a name for yourself, but you were automatic main event status with Bobby the Brain. But you know, we look back, WrestleMania 3, one of earliest moments, Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan. You talk about how, you know, Paul Heyman kind of was the advocate for Brock Lesnar and how he kind of sold you the match for 31 between Brock and Roman Reigns. Well, let me tell you something. Bobby the Brain Heenan sold us on the match between Hogan and Andre the Giant, WrestleMania 3.
You know, if there's ever a silver lining in death, Jeff, I don't think there really is. But in this case, we had the pleasure of, we didn't take a photo, but we saw Bobby the Brain Heenan in Orlando, Florida, probably his last WrestleCon that he was attending. And yeah, to see him there compared to what the image of the character of Bobby the Brain Heenan was, I mean, let's just focus on the man himself, Bobby Heenan. And you're right, there was a huge love there between the two of them, him and his wife now, who is a widow. But what I look at in retrospectively thinking about Bobby is I think back to the Hall of Fame speech he gave, and the passion and the enthusiasm he had.
Joy.
He was recovering from throat cancer the first time before he went to remission, and then had to deal with the other complications happened later on in his life. But just his, like you said, his passion is his gratitude, because he said it more enthusiastically than I could ever say how he loved being in the same word, in the same sentence as the men and women of professional wrestling. And that's why you love it, and that's why you do it. He mentioned it wasn't about the money, it's about the love and the passion he had for it. And that's something to be, something very moving for somebody when you look at back at his whole life and his whole career. He did it because he loved it. And a lot of us sometimes get up every day doing things we don't want to do. I can attest to that sometimes.
Raising my hand
right
now.
I'm sure a lot of people raising both their hands up in the air. You get up every morning and you do stuff you don't want to do. But when you're a guy like Bobby Heenan or anybody who does something that they love and they're passionate about, it's not just about, you know, feeding your family and feeding yourself. It's just because that's what you knew what your calling was. And for a guy like Bobby the Brain Heenan, it's safe to say that they broke the mold when they made him.
Yeah, so Bobby the Brain Heenan, you will be sorely missed in this episode of the High Spot Podcast.
But never
definitely
forgotten.
Is definitely dedicated in your honor, Bobby the Brain Heenan. And definitely, wow, I mean, we'll be looking back at the network for years to come. And hopefully hopefully there will be someone like you, but you know, you can be duplicated, but you are the original Bobby the Brain Heenan. We will miss you. And again, this show is dedicated to you. But as Bobby the Brain Heenan would want, he'd want the show to go on. So we have lots to do here today on the High Spot Podcast. We're coming off WrestlePro, which is a great show. Got a lot of good feedback there, and hopefully we have some news upcoming about that in the near future. But, you know, we're heading into No Mercy, and so much, you know, about that, and we're going to actually have a chance to, you know, recap that. Well, actually, we'll preview that towards the end. But we got JT Dunn today. We got the king of death by elbow, in my opinion. I think he is the savior and the future of professional wrestling. He joins us in a little bit too.
I'm sure he would say he's the future of professional wrestling.
Talk about JT Dunn, man. I mean, when you hear this interview, you're gonna be, I think, impressed, because this guy has his head together. This guy definitely is not only one of the best out there in the independents, but I think pretty soon he'll be making a name for himself, whether it's Ring of Honor, whether it's WWE. But I think he's got a bright future and a good head on his shoulders. The one and only JT Dunn joins us on the show.
Yeah, it's really exciting to have a chance to speak to him a few minutes during a live crowd at an event in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. I think what you'll notice about this guy is when you listen to this interview is the sincerity and the humbleness that is JT Dunn, and the mere fact that something that I think all of us can attest to, Jeff, is that sometimes all of us walk around with a chip on our shoulders. No chip is bigger than the one that JT Dunn is carrying. And, you know, he carries it as motivation for the fact that he has something to prove. I don't think he has something to prove to us fans, but something to prove to himself. And, you know, in a main event match of that caliber against a guy like Teddy Hart, he was definitely looking forward to it. Although he was a little bit under the weather, he wouldn't give you the satisfaction that he wasn't 100% and ready and focused on his conquest.
Now listen, if you guys get a chance to grab your hands on this match between JT Dunn and Teddy Hart, I mean, definitely get a chance to. It's probably on Pro Wrestling Magic on their Facebook page. It was a really great time on Saturday. It was tough, man, because we were trying to juggle that and then trying to get home in time and check out the Canelo Alvarez and Triple G fight, which, man, dude, I'm telling you, what was that judge thinking? I mean, it's been talked about, and now she's kind of been reprimanded. Now she probably won't judge anything the rest of the year. Thank God. Hopefully she never.
Too little, too late.
Hopefully she never makes it to another major event like this. But she's had a track record like this before. So when we're looking at the fight, and listen, we didn't get a chance to watch it because we're coming back from Pro Wrestling Magic. You know, by the time that it was over, and it wasn't like the Floyd Mayweather and McGregor fight, it started at midnight. Actually, this actually started at a decent time, and we missed a little bit of it. But, you know, just from the highlights, to think that this was 118-110 from that judge, I mean, it is ridiculous. I cannot believe it. And here we go. Most likely another match. You know, we get a draw and another rematch maybe in the future. Cinco de Mayo. That's crazy, dude.
It's crazy, but it's not surprising, Jeff. You know why? Because people like to criticize the fact that Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, the money fight, as they called it, was such a disgrace and embarrassment to boxing. I think if you look at this, the caliber of competitors that are in the ring, Canelo Alvarez and Triple G, yeah, you wouldn't consider this a laugher at any extent. You would look at this probably the fight to watch of the summer, or late fall now, or early fall. But yeah, in terms of this conspiracy now and this judge, and you know, she's probably been blacklisted, pretty much like Sexy Star has been blacklisted from professional wrestling. Too little too late here. I mean, people like to give us these conspiracies and say, oh, well, wrestling's fake. It's all predetermined. Do you think maybe for a second, because considering how much money is on the line here, Jeff, that maybe, I don't know, there might be some inner workings here. You know, Teddy Atlas and Stephen A. Smith scream about it.
Right there.
And scream about it all they want, back and forth, and talk over each other. But you know what? At the end of the day, what's it all about? It's about money. And we're going to see a rematch most likely, and people are going to pay even twice as much to see this rematch. Granted, whatever side you decide to see who won the fight, whether it was Triple G or Canelo Alvarez or it was a draw, I think, honestly, at the end of the day, both Golden Boy Promotions and anybody else promoting this fight are going to get their money's worth. And, you know, a rematch is exactly what they want to see.
Yeah, definitely. We're mostly going to get it. Triple G was shocked, in awe, that that judge could have scored it like that. And the only thing I will say, I give credit for Teddy Atlas, is two things. Yes, I think
he didn't have a heart attack.
That's true. That's one.
That's one.
But
thing.
Also, too, is that, you know, they're not the same person coming back in the next fight. You're not going to get the same fighters. You know, Triple G gave his all. And in my opinion, I think he won the fight. So he gave his all. He's not going to be the same guy coming back into the match. Neither is Canelo. So they give of themselves. They leave a piece of themselves in there. And to think that you're going to get the same guy, you know, this is maybe next year that this match happens. So this is definitely not the same person that you're getting.
Yeah, I agree with that to an extent, though. But I think when you look at something that Teddy Atlas talked about, how, like, he was very passionate about the fact that, like you just mentioned, they go in there sacrificing their lives because it's not a regular sport. You're actually taking damage, physical damage that you can never recover from as your later years continue.
Kind of like the bump card in wrestling.
Exactly. You have only a certain amount of punches you can take, so many bumps you can take in your career. But at the same time, I'm just so shocked. The mere fact that he's so angry and passionate about the system and the corruption and things of that nature.
Oh, no doubt, though.
He's been around it for so many years. So please, don't think boxers are corrupt,
but I do think that there is foul play going around.
But here's the thing. If you're a boxer, Jeff, if you know what you're diving into, if you want to be a professional wrestler, right, you know you're going to have to do crazy dives, bumps, high risks to get yourself noticed, not only to, you know, for example, to fight the fact that, you know, we might be a little bit undersized or you want to get noticed more. That's the avenue you take because you know what you're getting yourself into. With boxers, you know, I have the utmost respect for them and mixed martial arts, but when you go in there, you know what you have to do. And if you don't want it to go to the judge's scorecard, I had an argument with this with my father. If you don't want it to go to the judge's scorecards, then knock the guy out. Then finish him off.
But it was a good fight, though.
It was a good fight. I mean, when you look at Triple G's face, you know, he had more markings than Canelo did. But again, like I said, everybody wants to see a rematch. That's what they're going to get. So I think everybody needs to stop whining about it. Stop complaining about the scorecards. At the end of the day, we're all going to get what we want, a rematch. So boo-hoo.
And then we'll see you in May of 2018, most likely. Talk about this week, man. Listen, Ric Flair finally talked a little bit for People Magazine. The interview should be up sometime early next week. But, you know, just candid interview. And he talks about how, you know, he didn't even know he's an alcoholic. He would just, you know, never drink in the ring, you know. But afterward, like he does it. Drink. And then he would just take it. He, even as a casual drinker, he realized, whoa, you know what? I'm literally like alcoholic. And now he promises to never drink again. And he doesn't want
He
doesn't ever want to go through what he went through. So hopefully, you know, Ric Flair, you know, I guess you all need a scare sometimes, right? And this was as close as you can get. The Nature Boy kicked out at 2.5. And luckily, he's still around and he's doing well. He's still in a medical facility in Atlanta, Georgia. But, man, something like this, does it really, you know, do you think it'll sink into Ric Flair? Do you think that this will be the message much needed for Nature Boy to kind of tone it down? You're not 23 years old, Rick.
One can only hope. I mean, how old do you have to be till you stop Nature, right? And that's the pun everybody uses when you're going out there with Nature Boy Ric Flair. Oh, he's still Nature at this stage in his life. Like I said, you hope so. I think he has the support system around him, which could help him in a situation like this. But us as fans and admirers of a guy like Nature Boy Ric Flair, you just like to hope he gets it. But I think, unfortunately, it will continually always be a struggle. Sometimes people need dramatic examples to shake them out of whatever rut they might be in or whatever, you know, bad habits they need to stop. But, you know, sometimes that's not always the case, too. It's just been so ingrained in Rick, and he mentioned it before, it became normal. It wasn't a fact that he could notice he was an alcoholic finally admitting to it. That was what you did every single day. That's what you did when you were on the road. That you think after all this time, that was the lifestyle, that it would evolve and he would figure out. But again, hopefully, and unfortunately, it took this to finally snap him back into shape. You hope that happens. But again, ultimately, if he's going to succeed and stay sober from this point on for the rest of his life, you just like to hope the support system around him, which he has a good one, will be there for him when he needs it, because we're all human. We all make mistakes.
Ric Flair, we're all pulling for you, man. We really, really hope that, you know, this is the last of the scares. And then you get back in the WWE ring and, you know, do what you love doing and getting the admiration from the crowd. But, you know, you compare Ric Flair and associate with him North Carolina. You also associate with Starrcade, where it all began for the Nature Boy. WWE is deciding to bring it back now as a live event. I don't know if it's going to be a network special yet, but just your idea of the WWE bringing in old WCW names. We heard Fall Brawl might be used. Halloween Havoc, which we've talked about so long, that makes so much sense. If you're going to have the one in October, Halloween Havoc, man, did I enjoy it so much. It would be like the week before Halloween. It'd be at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada. And, you know, now you actually have a place in T-Mobile where you could have it. And just, you know, that's just the one that made the most sense. Fall Brawl, you don't know because they don't want to introduce war games. But just your thoughts on WWE bringing back these old WCW pay-per-view names. And talk about Starrcade. I think it's going to be a network special. I don't know if it is yet, but it's November. Your thoughts?
I think it's great for the nostalgia act that it's going to be, bringing back in events like Starrcade, you mentioned Fall Brawl, most likely, or Halloween Havoc. It's cool. It's something that is a little different, and something maybe that needs to be used for the fact that, you know, WWE isn't doing that well in attendance right now.
Some of the names are, you know, I mean, do we need some of these names? You know what I mean? Like, let's change it up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the names we know from monikers, because as the calendar year rolls around, it's always the same thing being used again. Different dynamics in the pay-per-view would be cool. But again, I think it's more for a nostalgia feeling. It would draw crowds to want to see it because, you know, for these events, whether they're live specials or they're just events for the crowd that attend that event or that match or whatever the case might be, it'd be cool. And hopefully it'll spark up a little bit of attendance. And who knows, maybe it will be added into the rotation of pay-per-views that we normally see. But I see this more as a temporary fix. And I think it's more to see if the crowd is enough enthusiastic about those types of events to want to go to it. So it's more of an experiment than anything.
You talk about attendance, man. Did you see the attendance for SmackDown? Did you see what they had to do? They had to tarp the whole hard camera side.
Well, I was going to say, I didn't see the attendance because there's nobody there.
That is crazy, man. There is something going on, whether it's, you know, maybe just LA time and 5 o'clock was too much, but, you know, that attendance is something to be monitored down the future for WWE. But Cody Rhodes, Brandy Rhodes, kind of had a little bit of a quarrel with WWE about, hey, now you come up with Starrcade, you choose not to give the recognition to my father while he's alive. Brandy Rhodes is more adamant about it, and Cody Rhodes was like, well, you know, how are you going to have a Starrcade without a Rhodes in it? And most likely, you know, Dustin Reynolds, Goldust will be there, and even the Hardys want to be there. It's a Charlotte feel. It's going to be in, you know, in Greensboro, North Carolina, so definitely you want to get that vibe, that you know, that, I guess, that old WCW NWA feel. But, you know, just your thoughts. Do you think, and Michael PSA has put it out there, you know, Cody, why don't you tag team with your brother on that one night only, Cody Rhodes in WWE. What do you think?
That would be great. And at the same time, I think it would work for Cody, because Cody, don't call him Rhodes, right? Because he would sign a one-day contract. He would be there for one event, be very special. He would get a lot more exposure for the mere fact that he hasn't been on WWE television, unless it is a televised event special on the network. It would just be great in terms of honoring his father. I understand their point of view of what they're feeling about, you know, when Dusty Rhodes was still alive, you could have done it. But at the same time, hindsight's 20/20. I mean, they're doing their own thing. WWE's trying to do their own thing. Neither sides are going to agree. But if they come to some type of truce or some type of agreement, it would be a very special moment to see Cody Rhodes either tag teaming with his brother or just competing at the event that his father made famous. So, yeah, I would love to see it. But ultimately, I think both sides are going to be bitter, or especially the Rhodes side is going to be bitter. But there's nothing you can do about it. It's just the nature of the business.
Even though we still have, you know, we're still in November, you could, you know, if you do promote the event, you could say a tribute to Dusty Rhodes. You know, it's still not, you know, it's still not set in stone that, hey, it's just Starrcade and we're not going to mention Dusty Rhodes.
I'd be interested to see the Young Bucks, though, because they're invited as well. And so with their contract with Ring of Honor, with Ring of Honor, allow them to do that. That's the more interesting factor to me, because Cody Rhodes is kind of a free agent right now.
Yeah, he hasn't
really signed by anybody.
But Young Bucks do have that New Japan Ring of Honor contract, so
exactly.
I don't know what would happen.
That'd be a little bit iffy if that could happen. It'd be fun. I could see that as part of the elite. I think the contract negotiation would be, listen, we'll do your show if we can use it as our video vlog of the being the elite. That would be fun.
Yeah, and of course, you know, there's no animosity between Ring of Honor and, you know, WWE, so there definitely could be some kind of working out. The thing is, WWE has to be a little bit more open. They have to, you know, they already bring in, say, like a Ronda Rousey and the Four Horsemen. They're being more open to different things. So if you, you know, work with the Ring of Honor, they've worked with other, you know, organizations. They've worked with Progress. They've worked with, you know, Evolve. So, you know, I don't see why not, where if it helps both sides, that you can make it an event where, like, wow, this is a must-see. Even if it's one night only, get your fix of what the Young Bucks would be like in WWE, you know? What would it be like for one night only?
It's interesting. It's the same point I brought across with you before, and you kind of disagree with me. And so it's kind of interesting you're seeing it from the other perspective here, like I mentioned before, where I disagree with you. WWE should kind of promote these other promotions and make them more noticeable. I mean, just by announcing them and giving acknowledgement towards them, you're somewhere promoting them, but I think this is taking
to the next step, though. This is actually happening.
It is taking to the next step. So this is going beyond acknowledging them. It's going to the fact of having their talent on your programming. So if that's the case, I don't think it hurts WWE.
Mr. Editor, next week I want you to find that tape, and I want you to put it on here.
You know what you said.
And then I'll be like, yes, you know what? I was wrong, because I'll admit when I was wrong. So if I did say that, then I was wrong.
Okay.
But anyways, you know,
it'll
so
be
we
the first time.
So we have No Mercy coming up, and we're going to actually preview that in a little bit. And then, of course, we have Death by Dishonor by Ring of Honor. That's also coming up this weekend. So we have a busy week ahead of us in the wrestling world. But first and foremost, though, we cannot, you know, continue the show without having our guest at this time, JT Dunn. JT Dunn, again, the savior of professional wrestling, Mr. Death by Elbow. You know, you can call him whatever you want. And he is definitely one of the guys making a lot of, turning a lot of heads in the independents right now. And like we said, we were talking to him, and the impression we got was humble and good head on his shoulders. So we get to talk to him about how he started professional wrestling, just some thoughts on the business itself, and his matchup with Teddy Hart. And right now, here is our interview, Jersey Wrecking Crew, with JT Dunn.
All right, we're here with Mr. Death by Elbow, JT Dunn. JT, what's going on, man? Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate y'all having me. I'm glad we finally got an opportunity to make this happen.
Man, it took time. It took tons of having to pay people off to get you on here, but it's good to have
worth
you on.
It's worth it. Buy rate's going through the roof now. Here we go. Yeah,
definitely bad. Talk about a man that's willing to do anything to get in that ring. He is a little bit under the weather, though we won't really promote that out there, but he's willing to go in that ring right now and take a beating, or especially give one. So how are you feeling right now physically?
I'm honestly right now, I feel a little beat up. Today is about to be my fifth match in 3 days. Last night I wrestled a tournament for Chaotic Wrestling, and I made it to the finals. I lost to a man named Josh Briggs, who is somebody, if you're not familiar with, I keep an eye out for him. Very reminiscent of the man who just left for NXT, Donovan Dijak. Dijak actually, he passed the torch to my man, and the dude's really good. He threw me a beating last night. I thought I was going to be a little bit more in better shape, feeling a little bit better for Teddy Hart tonight, but
yeah, we were
still
going to
throw some bows at him.
We were able to see some of the highlights on social media already. Dude, that was, you know, you're being humble right now, because that was really good, man. I got to admit that.
I have fun, man. In a place like Chaotic, the same here in Magic, I feel like a lot of eyes and attention are on me, and I wrestle with a chip on my shoulder. So last night I wrestled three matches as if they were the three of my last matches, and tonight I got a little bit left in the tank. I'm going to try to top those performances.
All right, talking about tonight, Teddy Hart, you've been promoting this. This is something like, you know, something that we didn't think we would ever going to see.
Yeah.
And we get to watch it here at Pro Wrestling Magic. Talk about that match. How excited are you to go one-on-one with Teddy Hart?
I'm really excited, man. I love what Teddy Hart is in pro wrestling. I love what he became. He's like he's just a wrestling icon. Hey, for better or for worse, Teddy Hart is Teddy Hart. And I never thought I would get to a position in pro wrestling where my name value can challenge that of Teddy Hart, who's been around for way, way longer, and he's done incredible things. But now he's on his return, his comeback tour in pro wrestling, and I'm kind of top dog around here now. And this is definitely something I tried to make happen, I would say, definitely throughout this whole year, not only here in Pro Wrestling Magic, just other companies, because I think Teddy Hart is a very big challenge for me. His style of wrestling, the way he just conducts himself, is the complete opposite of how I live my life. So I think that in the ring, it's going to make such an interesting dynamic. And I want to see what the hell he's got, man. He's got all that hype. You see, everybody sees the crazy Teddy Hart videos, him jumping off of shit. How's he going to jump off anything when I'm just beating the shit out of him? Like, sorry, I'm cussing. I didn't mean my
no problem. Don't worry about it.
I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Yeah, we love it. On the High Spot Podcast. That's why, man. Of course. This is a long time coming. You talk about him wanting to take on Teddy Hart. This is what it's all about right now.
This longer than the match.
Exactly. We can't question the enthusiasm. The thing else also that I'm also really interested in is you always say that you have a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
Now, you're the Pro Wrestling Magic champion here. Obviously, that was a great event we went to and we saw. Congratulations on that. Do you feel any added sense of pressure, the fact that now you are literally the face of the company? Is that something that excites you? Is that something you invite more? And also, do you still have that chip on your shoulder?
I think it's bigger now. It definitely excites me. And heading into the match with EC Negro on their last show, I knew kind of going forward, if I was to win the championship, how I wanted to conduct myself. And I really want to change the landscape here in Magic. I think there's great opportunities for people here. And I think a lot of the better talent is overlooked. And I'm hoping that with me becoming the heavyweight champion here, I can open doors for people and motivate the locker room to work harder, because I'm going to try to steal the show every single time I'm here. And I don't, like, that's not even something I have to say. Like, when I walk into a building, I know the other workers and the boys, they look like, oh, shit, JT's here, man. I'm like, we better get ready to
step
work.
Up their game.
Yeah, and that's what I want to happen here, because if I'm doing that in the main event and I know I'm on last and I know I'm defending my championship, my back's against the wall. I want all the matches before me to be absolutely incredible, because then the fans win. Then it's really worth your money. And then when the main event comes, it's like a bonus. It's like you know that's supposed to deliver. I know deep down that I'm going to deliver. I'm going to do whatever it takes to have the best match. So it's cool to see these guys motivated and to see guys like Jeff Cobb here today. Ace Romero's still here doing his open challenge. I really enjoy the way it's looking going forward with me as the face of the company.
And let me tell you something, that speech you gave afterwards, very emotional once you won the championship, man, very real. What for you, as far as other wrestlers, have you gotten inspiration from? Who got you into this? What was, you know, everyone remembers the itch when they were like, oh, this is the moment that I want to do this. What was the moment for you?
I had already been wrestling for a few years. I didn't know if wrestling was what I was going to do or if it's what I wanted to do for a very long time. And then the first time I stepped in the ring with Hero, who is the reason why I did independent wrestling, I found a tape of him and CM Punk, and it was just different than what was on TV. So for me, I was like, oh, I didn't know wrestling like this existed. Damn, these guys are awesome. They're just two dudes doing whatever they want, saying whatever they want, like, because there was some foul language in those promos, and wrestling on TV is never like that. So it was just, it was inviting to me, and it made me want to do it. And Chris has always been my inspiration. I mean, Death by Elbow, the brand was built behind him and I being a team, which was surreal. So having that first match with him and afterwards earning his respect, it was kind of like, damn, like, I can actually make a go at this pro wrestling thing. And I think it was that moment where I started believing in myself, because before, it's a situation in life where if so many people tell you suck or you're not good at something or you're stupid, after a while of hearing it, you eventually are like, man, maybe I am stupid. Maybe I'm not as good as I think I am. And I started having that reputation where nobody wanted to invest in me because I'm always the guy who makes the other guy look good. And I think this year I've broken out of my shell and try to shatter that mold, and it's like, no, man, F that guy. I'm better than him. I'm the reason why this is going well. I'm working harder. I'm the hardest worker in the locker room. I want the attention. So that's why that speech was so real, because this is my first opportunity as a heavyweight champion somewhere. I want to make a statement. I want to show all the other companies in the last 10 years that just overlooked me, or I was the guy to pass the title on to somebody else. You made a mistake, man, and Pro Wrestling Magic is capitalizing on that.
That's where that chip probably developed, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I haven't always been the best wrestler. I'm still not the best wrestler. I think that I'm good at what I'm good at, and I highlight all my positives, and I don't wrestle selfishly. I don't wrestle for myself. I wrestle for the audience, and I wrestle for my opponent. I want them leaving the ring after having a match with me and be like, that's the best match I've ever had in my life. And it's cool when I have those matches with superstars and guys who have been in WrestleMania. And I had the match with Cody Rhodes here. It's one of my favorite matches I've ever had. And that spawned a friendship between us just because he saw how hard I was willing to work and what I was willing to do to just bring all that attention. It was that was the first sellout here for Pro Wrestling Magic. Like, people were standing against the walls. I love being responsible for that. I love just showing pro wrestling's positive sides.
Now, you talk about as far as, like, being a hard worker, and also now I want to ask you is, you, of course, you're before, you know, you have your brand. You have also the Strong Style apparel, too, yep, which is awesome. You know, the hat and everything like that. You can find that on their website as well. Now, as far as getting stuff out there, now, do you think right now this is the best time to be a wrestler in wrestling because of the way social media allows you to get yourself out there compared to maybe if you were in the business like 10 years ago? Do you think this is a great time for you to be in the sport?
I think it's an easier time right now for people to get into pro wrestling. And I think it's definitely easy to brand yourself and get attention because you can just do some stupid stuff and you automatically get a viral video or whatever. You don't have to be the best wrestler. The internet just wants to see dumb stuff. But I think the benefit now is if you get into wrestling the right way at this moment and you know how to conduct yourself like a professional and you run your social media like a professional, sky's the limit. And I think that's one of the things that benefits me is I'm not on social media to talk shit to people. I'm not trying to degrade the fans. I'm not trying to have a Twitter war with guys I'm wrestling. Like, I let my pro wrestling do the talking for me. And then when I grab the microphone at the end of my matches, that's not for my opponent. That's between me and the fans, me and the people who paid to be there. I'm letting them know what I'm feeling in that moment. I never know what I'm going to say. I don't pre-write anything or plan anything.
That's good, though. That's good.
I'm like, okay, what am I feeling? Let's talk about it.
That's good because, you know what, a lot of people get used to the scripts.
Yeah.
And then they get so used to it that then all of a sudden they go out there and they can't be original. Yep. So originality is what makes you.
And that's one of the things where when I first started training for wrestling, I wanted to be able to wrestle. And I said this in my documentary and stuff. I wanted to be able to wrestle like Hero. I wanted Hero's respect level. I wanted the way that people see him as, like, the greatest independent wrestler of all time. And hopefully he goes on to WrestleMania and becomes one of the greatest names in pro wrestling ever. On the flip side, with CM Punk, I loved his freedom. I loved his expression, his everything's a do-it-yourself mentality. Like, just go ahead and do it, and if you need to ask for forgiveness afterwards, that's the best way. So I just grab the microphone and I speak my mind. If somebody has a problem with it, that's cool, but we're all entitled to our own opinion. That's how I feel. You can't tell me I'm wrong. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
And nowhere to ever tell him that he's wrong, no matter what it was.
I feel bad for Teddy Hart if he says he's wrong tonight.
Exactly, definitely. I'm always curious here in the fact that, you know, wrestling is such a long learning curve. It's never something you fully dominate. It's not something, for example, you study for and you're saying you know it by heart. Yeah. At this stage in your career, what do you feel you still need to be working on to improve? Like, for example, 5 years down the road, what could you be doing? What do you feel you need to be doing to get at that next level? Because there's always a next level for everybody.
I am honestly, this year is the first year I've felt like a complete wrestler. I felt like all the dynamics you need to be successful. I would assume it's a brand, a character, a persona. You need to have constant buzz. I had it with Juicy Product. I had it with Death by Elbow. This is my first year in the spotlight where it was either when Hero left, I was going to sink or swim. And I think a lot of people had money on me being a failure afterwards. And again, that added to the chip on my shoulder. And I think right now I'm the most complete. If I keep doing what I'm doing right now, and I honestly don't know what it is I'm doing, I'm just trying to be the best I can, work with the best talent that I can, and stay out of trouble, which is things that I really didn't push myself towards all the times before. A lot of opportunities, I wouldn't say they fell in my lap because I was working hard for them, but I didn't know what was attainable. Now my goals are a little different. I know what I want to do. I know where I want to head to, and I'm just kind of guiding myself in that direction. In 5 years, I hope if I'm still wrestling, I hope my mentality is the same it is as right now. I'm wanting to push wrestling forward, wanting to help out people who I think are very talented, who might get overlooked, or just maybe they don't understand the social media aspect and how to promote themselves or put themselves over online in a very positive way. I want to help those guys and make sure, and a lot of those guys are my buddies, just because they're hard workers, and then I see a lot of the same qualities about myself in them. So I just want to keep helping guys like that, and I want to wrestle for the best promotions and just be positive, man. I feel like there's so many negative things about pro wrestling, and it felt like 2017, pro wrestling definitely took a couple jabs in the face with guys doing dumb things.
Yeah.
I never want to be that, man. I want to be a positive campaign for a person. I've been homeless at 17 now, 10 years later. I'm who I am, man. Yeah. I don't know. For whatever that is, whoever the hell you think I am.
No, you right now, you're the pro wrestling magic champion. Leap, so, yeah. Hey, you know what?
And somebody going after his dreams and knows where what it takes for the hard work to get to where he's at
right now. And having impressive
matches
everywhere you go.
Thank you.
One final thing on my part. Sasha Banks made a comment about being in the airport and how at 4 a.m. it's kind of creepy when a fan comes up to you with a bunch of stuff, memorabilia. It's not just one thing, but when they come with a cart of stuff, like that, you know you're going to find it on eBay. Now, a lot of people have either said they understand, but you got like Bubba Ray comes out, hey, it's when they don't come at you at 4 a.m. in the morning you should be worried about. Just your take on that as a wrestler. How would you feel if, you know, already your name for yourself, but if, say, you make it to the WWE in a few years, because that's got to be the ultimate goal for you, how would you feel about that? What mindset would you have?
I think it's situational. For me, I'm a people person. I love conversation. I love meeting people for the first time. I think that's one of my favorite things in life.
First impressions.
Yes, and because I think I make a great first impression, because it's never about me. It's always about the other person in the conversation. And that's kind of how my wrestling is. It's never about me. It's always about the other person in the conversation. I'm the type of person where in real life I use Uber every day of my life.
Okay.
For the simple fact that it's a different person. Okay. Like, I use it for the gym. It picks me up and a different person takes me back to my house. I have 10 minutes to have a conversation with that person and just learn them and dissect them as a human. That's fun for me. So maybe if I'm sitting in the airport at 4 o'clock and somebody rolls up with a couple of figures of me, I'm a little different than them. I'm not going to get upset. I embrace that type of stuff. But there might be a day where I haven't slept in a week. I'm on a busy schedule, like Sasha maybe. And that might be a little frustrating. I might just want to sit there with my headphones in and get my mind right to go sit on a plane.
So it's a price of stardom, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, people can
it would come with the territory, too,
sure.
I think. Yeah.
And I think we all know that getting into it. Like, I expect when I'm come up for intermission, I'm sitting at my table, there's a huge line. I'm not leaving my table until I get to talk to everybody. I will hold the show up on purpose. That's how I am. I know on a grander scale, like a WWE event, you can't do that. That's why these fans wait for you in the airport or wait for you in the parking lot, because they don't have this experience like we're standing at right now. That sucks for them, because a lot of their fans in pro wrestling are accustomed to this style of it. So when they go to WWE, they expect the same respect, the same... it's easy to come and find me. Like, if you walk into Pro Wrestling Magic right now, you know exactly where to find JT Dunn. Right behind his 8x10s.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks, you're only going to catch her in the airport. Bubba Ray, you're only going to catch him in the airport or the parking lot. Their schedules are way different than me. They've been at, especially Bubba Ray, he's been at it for a long time. I'm sure after 20 years, my opinion will change. But right now, man, I don't
listen,
mind.
Listen, I love JT, because when you went to shake his hand, Bri, he was like, okay, I don't know you, but here, what's going on? Good guy, man.
Exactly.
Definitely good guy.
And I hate to see it 20 years, his perspective changing, because if I had to run to anybody in a parking lot, I'd rather walk into Sasha Banks than with Bubba Ray. Seriously, that's my purple preference. Wouldn't want to walk into Bubba Ray for anything here right now. But, you know, in closing for me, though, what I love about professional wrestling growing up as a kid and now getting more into it and getting a chance to speak to the characters, the personalities, the people that I respect in the ring is, that's the key word right there, is respect.
Yeah, man.
Respecting not only from the fans' perspective, respecting the talent, but the talent respecting each other. I'm not going to mention any names here because I think it's been mentioned enough, names, but what's your perspective on that uncanny, like, that rule where you, when you go out there, you might not always get along with everybody out there. You always got to work with everybody. You might not like everybody.
I work with him. I kind of tolerate him, but we have to get this done.
We have to get it done, exactly. I have to, unfortunately, deal with him for a few more hours, but again, it'll be over eventually. You have to go in there and protect somebody.
Yeah.
How important is that unspoken rule out there? And what does that mean to you in terms of respecting the performance and respecting each other as performers?
To me, it's everything. I think the foundation of who JT Dunn is based on that. I came into pro wrestling and I was given no respect, and rightfully so. I was ignorant. I was misguided. I didn't have proper training. I was doing everything the wrong way. But then through that process, I fell in love with pro wrestling, and I learned what wrestling is really about and the brotherhood that stands behind it. And for a person like me in my personal life, I'm not very close with my family. I don't have those kind of relationships to fall back on. So this is my family. Pro wrestling is my family. So when I see people breaking that bond or taking advantage of that respect level we're supposed to have for each other, regardless if you like each other personally, there's been guys that I've wrestled still to this day that I don't like as a person. because I see them do bad things, cheat on their girlfriends, do drugs, like whatever their vice is, it doesn't matter. When we're in there, that person's life is in my hands. And how bad would it be if something was to happen and these fans have to experience that?
Yeah.
Because of my personal gripe with somebody, I'm not going to be responsible for putting that memory in people's minds. I'd rather leave them with a great match. And if I don't like the guy and we have a problem in the ring, we can go outside in the parking lot and we can solve it. Like that's, and I'm very non-confrontational. I don't like anything like that. But nobody's going to test my gangster. I'll slap you around. I don't care. But that's
don't test the man.
Please don't, man. I love the camaraderie in wrestling. I love the brotherhood. I love the family atmosphere. I love the challenge and disliking somebody, but still stealing the show at them. Egotistically, as a competitor, as a person who needs to outdo everybody else on the show, I love fighting for respect. Without it, man, we got nothing. We got nothing without it.
JT, thank you so much your time, man. Much appreciated, and we know you're going to still hear the show, steal the show here. Looking forward to you and Teddy Hart. And you got Joey Janela coming up, which is great.
Man.
We saw him last week against Tommy Dreamer. They tore the house down.
I got some pretty cool things. Beyond Wrestling's doing the rematch of myself and Martin Stone. Martin and I had been trying to wrestle each other for a couple of years, and nobody would pull the plug. And we finally wrestled each other unannounced on a Beyond Wrestling show, stole the show, and just kind of told everybody, like, I told you that's what we're going to do, man. That's how good we are. So I'm excited. That's coming up soon.
November 4th, you'll be with Battle Club Pro, too.
I am. They just announced me versus M-Dog 20, Matt Cross, for the first time ever.
How great is that? I mean, I'm telling you,
it's awesome. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, it's great to be a fan, and great to be a fan of you, JT.
Thank
so
you
much.
Very much, man.
Appreciate it, man, for your time.
Thank you, guys.
And that was JT Dunn. Huge thanks goes out to him from the Jersey Writing Crew. If you guys want to follow everything he's doing in terms of bookings and other events he has upcoming in the near future, catch him on Twitter at the JT Dunn. That's one word. Jeff, just amazing. Like as I mentioned before, we did the interview here. It's just, you just get a sense of the fact that sometimes a lot of people don't get it. Like, they can't see the forest within, I don't even know how you use that, the forest within the trees or something like that. You just can't see it. You can't see the perspective you have when you're actually in the moment. But I think JT has a great ability of recognizing where he is at the stage in his career, recognizing where he wants to be, and understanding what it's going to take to get there. And I go back to the whole chip on his shoulder. I think that's huge motivation for him. It's not a sense of bitterness. It's a sense of just enthusiasm and just reminding him of where he started, where he came from, and what's gotten him to this point so he doesn't forget. And what a great match with Teddy Hart, man. Again, huge. Also, huge credit goes out to Teddy Hart as well. First time we had a chance to meet him. What I took from it the most, Jeff, is that he went out there and he shook everybody's hand.
Yeah, that was impressive,
the audience,
man.
And that,
everybody's
to me,
hand.
Meant a lot. I never met Teddy Hart. I wasn't a huge fan of Teddy Hart's. Nothing negative. I just didn't really know that much about him, just from the stories you hear. But when he extended his hand and I went in there and reached and grabbed it, and he gave you that grip like a heart would, it just meant a lot for me in terms of a fan. I'm sure it meant a lot to everybody else in the audience as well. And the speech he gave at the end, which you guys can catch on social media, on the High Spot Podcast, on Twitter. But last thing I'll say on this, watching JT Dunn, him speaking, and watching his match with Teddy Hart, I put it on social media out there, Jeff. This is why I love professional wrestling. And that was a focal point of it.
Yeah, I mean, the impression, you hear the rumors, and I heard Teddy Hart on a bunch of other podcasts, and you get this impression of Teddy Hart, but then, you know, I don't know if he was like that in the past, and, you know, if the rumors kind of, you know, carry you along, even to this day. You know, he is a little bit older now, so, you know, you haven't seen him in the past, and again, the rumors tend to follow him wherever he goes. So when he comes out, you're wondering, is this, you know, this is the enigma Teddy Hart that's coming out here? But then when you meet him, and you're like, wow, this guy is either, you know, gets it now or has been humbled, but the second he talks, you know he is a heart.
Yes.
You know, and it's amazing. And man, you know, I'll just say right now, we were blessed to see that match because, listen, JT Dunn is the future. Teddy Hart recognized him as the future, you know, and tons of praise were heaped on JT Dunn. I mean, obviously the guy hears it all the time because that's what I kind of see in every match there where you see JT, is that, you know, every wrestler takes the time out afterwards. You see the handshake, and I don't care if you guys like that or not. I like the fact that there's respect between the wrestlers after the matches where they handshake and they give each other a hug of respect. That's fine with me. It's to me, it's a sign of respect. And
everywhere I go, I see the respect towards JT Dunn and the professional that he is. And I think the interview was awesome. It really portrays him as a good guy. Listen, he wasn't. He was under the weather, you know, and instead of saying, hey, listen, I'm kind of not, feeling it right now. No, he's there. He's a stand-up guy, does the interview. And listen, we had to a lot of loopholes to get JT on the show. But we did. And we thank Pro Wrestling Magic.
A lot of hoops to jump through.
Yeah, for Pro Wrestling Magic for letting us do the interview there in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. And all I can say is, man, if you're in the area, definitely check them out. Check out Pro Wrestling Magic because they really put on a good show. Every time I go there, I just am amazed at what they do, and great booking, great matches. So much talent now in professional wrestling. And like we're telling JT, it's a great time to be a fan of professional wrestling and get yourself out there.
Get yourself out there, and just if you love the atmosphere around there, I would definitely say go to either a from the events we've attended to, a WrestlePro event or a Pro Wrestling Magic event. They definitely live up to the billing too, and it's just a great time to talk to JD Dunn.
Yeah, and also he will be there again in New Jersey on November the 4th for Battle Club Pro, so we might have an announcement with them in the near future. So check that out. He will be there. I do say this: he is one of the wrestlers out there. If you have a bucket list or there's guys that you want to go see, if you see him on a card, definitely go check him out. And again, one of the nicest guys. Definitely has a good head on his shoulders. And we thank the JT Dunn for coming on the High Spot Podcast. Definitely hope to have him on again soon. Hey, maybe November 4th. You never know. But now, bro, No Mercy is this Sunday.
Oh, God.
Well, you're not excited for it, man. You got two WrestleMania-type matches at the Staples Center in Los Angeles.
A lot of hype to live up to. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it will.
Now,
I think it will.
Considering how they effectively went to the go-home shows, which have been atrocious, and the build-up towards leading up to this.
Oh, that was brutal on Monday night.
To see that, you just hope they live up to the billing right now, because if you're looking at the past couple of weeks, haven't really hit that bar of excitement if you're a fan.
That was tough to watch. It really was.
I couldn't watch it.
Listen, if it wasn't part of our job, I don't think I would have either. Yeah. I would have just halfway there, I would have been like, boom. But your thoughts on the go-home show, what, honestly, like, you're basically setting up the IC title match between Jordan and The Miz. And I'm still not feeling Jason Jordan, man. I really, whether it's just the whole angle with Kurt Angle, whether he's getting all these special privileges, whether it's just, hey, I love his wrestling, but I just cannot get into Jason Jordan right now.
Well, that's been his biggest thing since he started with the WWE. I think when he connected with Chad Gable, it gave some sense of you could invest in him. You could see him as an underdog. But right now, how could you see him as an underdog? He's basically Kurt Angle's kid. He has somewhat these special privileges. You can respect the fact he wants to make a name for himself. He doesn't want to live off his father's name or get any special treatment. But that's what he's getting, so it's hard to get behind him. His mic skills, in my opinion, and I'm pretty brash when I say it, so I think are atrocious, though. A lot of work needs to be done there. In terms of his wrestling,
atrocious. Wow.
It can get pretty stale and boring. You look surprised by me saying atrocious. Can you tell me anything that Jason Jordan has said, either in interviews backstage that have been pre-taped and are pre-scripted, or anything he said in the audience when he's grabbed the microphone that kind of wows you right now?
Yeah, but atrocious, that's kind of tough. See, here's my thing.
Well, where would you use
I like subpar.
Okay, you're trying to be nice then.
Yeah, I'm trying to be nice. I'm trying to be, nice political.
Nice doesn't get us anywhere in this business.
I'm trying to get, give you the, political answer here on the aspect of
Jason
Jordan.
Pay me the big bucks. Jeff, you don't pay me the big bucks to be nice.
But, listen, to me, the funny thing is I like his wrestling. His wrestling is the okay part. I'm just not.
I feel like Matt wrestling.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what it is.
And the
suplexes and taking it to the ground.
You're impressed by the Cena and the Reigns matches?
I thought they were very good, but again, you're going up against high level caliber talent like that. To me, Jeff, like I've said to you time and time again, what makes the workings of a very, very, very good wrestler or a very great worker is being able to work with any amount of talent and making them, as well as yourself, look good. He's done a good job, but when he gets in the ring with Finn Balor, he gets in the ring with John Cena, gets in the ring with Roman Reigns, are you really surprised? I mean, look who he's in the ring with. I want to see him against somebody who's unproven to see if he can elevate that level. That's what, to me, what a great worker is.
Yeah, I think if he just would have come out as Jason Jordan and not have this whole angle come out and him have the slow build up to the higher echelon of Raw superstars. That'd been great. I mean, look what they've done to Braun. I think the funny thing is we look at all these other guys that have been misused, and you look at Braun Strowman, and you're like, man, this guy has been booked perfectly, but it just shows you, just like in anything, you know, just in real life, if you care about something that much, you are going to do the best you can about it. So obviously WWE is concerned so much right now about Braun Strowman that, you know, that is their main focus, and they want to make this guy look gold. And they have done a great job heading into No Mercy, and right now we're going to break down the No Mercy card, and we're going to talk about this matchup, Braun versus Brock. What can you say, man? Give credit to Brock Lesnar for actually, you know, building up this guy. And, you know, a lot of people say, hey, Brock is money, Brock is a part-timer, Brock is selfish. But you know what? We have the, you know, inside info, but when Brock knows that he can make money, when Brock knows that that's the guy that I can make money with, Brock's going to do business. Brock is all about business.
Yeah, he's all about business. I think that's used against him for the fact that he does have, you know, people give the impression just because he's all about business, he has no passion or desire to improve anything. He just wants to get his money, get his work in, and get out. If you've known his buildup with Brock Lesnar, the buildup to this with Braun Strowman, I think it just shows you how much, despite the fact of how much Brock Lesnar's getting paid, how much he's invested in actually making this the best thing as possible. Not only making money for himself, but helping and making money for the company as well. And this type of scenario, too, when you have a match that has worthy caliber of WrestleMania written all over it, I think when you see Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman, this is the match everybody wanted to see. This is the match where everybody's excited to get. You're finally going to get it. Usually, it's like a huge big money fight. You wait till the very end, and they milk it all the way so you don't get it until the moment you want it. We're getting it now, so nobody can complain about it. As what's going to happen, you know, as much as they've been protecting Braun Strowman, as much as he's got the momentum, I think he is the future. I know that gets used a lot. Brock Lesnar right now is still the man. And if you're going to stick to your guns, which I'm sure the WWE has done time and time again, and Roman Reigns is going to be, no pun intended, the guy, then, you know, you do this in a way that helps protect Braun Strowman. It protects Brock Lesnar. But at the same time, it gives you now that illusion that Brock Lesnar is losing his invincibility, which is what you're noticing with Braun Strowman, the way he's been manhandling Brock Lesnar. And this all leads up to Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar down the road.
So they're willing to sacrifice the momentum by Braun Strowman for Roman Reigns for WrestleMania.
I think you sacrifice his momentum more if you make him champion right now. Because he becomes champion right now, what is there left to look forward to with Braun Strowman?
When do you think the call would be to put the title on him? Would it be this year? Would it be after WrestleMania?
I would say next year.
How can you hold? How can you prolong that build then for maybe another year or so? How do you do that? He's gotten to the pinnacle now. He's Brock Lesnar, besides Roman Reigns, to me, there's no more pinnacle. How much more can you build a guy up without putting the title on him?
Well, this goes back to the same argument of how many times can Roman Reigns not be in the title picture? We know eventually he's going to get it. They'll find some way around it. I mean, there's still a lot of untapped potential that Braun Strowman has not been in the ring with.
Would you put the title on Braun Strowman right now?
No, I would not put the title on him right now. He is white hot right now, but at the same time, if I put the title on him, I feel that you endanger his momentum, because if you put the title on him on such an early stage in his career, granted, yes, he is the most exciting, most over character right now, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's what's best for business of him being the face of the company, being the Universal Champion. So right now, you hold on to that till the moment comes after the whole WrestleMania fiasco happens between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, because there's still some unfinished business between those two.
So your prediction for No Mercy?
Basically, it's going to be the Braun Strowman show. He's going to be taken to Suplex City, and then at some point, some way, either Brock Lesnar is going to get himself disqualified, or somehow Roman Reigns or somebody else interferes in this match to cause it to be a complete wash. This way, in the sense, you help protect Braun Strowman. You still protect Brock Lesnar, because neither one loses clean to the other. And this is something maybe you anticipate later on down the road as a rematch. Kind of like, I don't know, maybe a match we saw a while ago, Canelo Alvarez and Triple G. Makes sense, doesn't it?
Could Samoa Joe interfere?
Quite a possibility. You know, he still has unfinished business with Brock Lesnar, causing Braun Strowman to lose his opportunity. Makes sense.
What's the best chance that we get? Do we see a turn by Paul Heyman, which a lot of people love, that turn on Heyman, or Samoa Joe?
I think Samoa Joe is more likely. For the people that say, you know, Paul Heyman is going to turn, How many times have we seen that before? It doesn't work. To have Brock Lesnar as a babyface by himself does not work. Why would you do it? If it ain't broke, Jeff, sometimes we have the tendency to want to do things.
Oh, we want to fix it, man. We want to.
But it's not. It doesn't need to be fixed.
Reinvent the wheel.
It works. We don't need to reinvent it.
Exactly.
Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar work. Don't need a backstabbing shot here. We've seen it so many times. We don't need it here.
The WWE Intercontinental Championship is on the line. The Miz and the Bastard Son, Jason Jordan. Hey, I didn't call him that. The Miz did. So, your thoughts. Does the Miz
just
retain?
Just because you repeat what somebody says makes it all right. And yet, I got heat by Jeff for calling his promos atrocious, absurd, all these things. Wow, Jeff. Okay, I see where it goes.
Congratulations.
Hiding behind the Miz like
congratulations to the Miz and Maryse, too. But the Miz and Jason Jordan. Does Jason Jordan upset the fans even more by winning the IC title?
I don't think so. I think it's the wrong move to make. You need The Miz to retain the title. Again, he's the only one really bringing prestige back to a title that isn't really defended. I sense his frustration. It's clearly there. I think all the experiments you've had for the IC title have kind of withered and failed. It makes sense right now for a guy like Jason Jordan, if he's going to be the one chasing after the champ, to have that chase continue. Because you know what? As soon as Jason Jordan becomes a champion, he's dealing with the Roman Reigns factor, in my opinion. He is going to get resentment regardless of the fact of whatever happens here. So in this case, make the smart move. Have The Miz retain. And this storyline continues. Because right now, it has the likelihood of
because it just started.
Building,
it just started,
has the
too, on Raw.
To build up to something good. So why rush it?
So here's my thing to you. Coming up, and I think that The Miz is going to also retain the championship too, because listen, Miz, be careful what you wish for, because right now it's a big man's world in the WWE. So right now it's all about Braun.
Yes,
Brock,
but nobody has
Roman.
A bigger personality than The Miz right now.
Exactly. So, but still, be careful what you wish for, Miz. That IC title, you've made it so far for the last year or so. But next matchup, the tag team titles are on the line. Now, we saw a marathon match on Monday Night Raw between Gallows and Anderson. It was I guess it was a triple threat match. Then we had Sheamus and Cesaro, and then we had Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins, the tag team champs. Wow, 36 minutes, 38 minutes was ridiculous. And now we get to see these guys, they get the rematch clause, Sheamus and Cesaro, for the tag team titles. I got to ask you a couple things here.
Okay.
What the hell happened to Seth Rollins, man? Is he now like a mid-carder for the time being? Like, you know, is this the angle? What about Triple H calling him the future? I mean, what has happened to Seth? The face of 2K18.
Well, I think you mentioned it a long time ago, Jeff. This is the land of the giants right now, and Seth Rollins does not fit in that category. Yeah, he has a humongous ego, a gigantic ego, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be in the title picture right now anytime soon. I think what the WWE thought was, because they needed depth in their tag team division, what's the best thing to do right now? Take two of my good, solid workers that are individual stars, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins. Let's have them pair up again, a small mini Shield reunion here. And let's have them make the tag team division, along with Sheamus and Cesaro, something to watch. The sad thing about that, though, is you also have a great team in Gallus and Anderson that has been underutilized. And so when you see the same pairing over and over again week to week, like we saw last week in the go-home show, what other enthusiasm do I have to see this again on a pay-per-view? Yes, it's for the titles, but I've already seen it. I don't have any excitement for it. And as talented as Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Cesaro, and Sheamus are, this whole rivalry, I've kind of lost interest. I know they're going to knock it out of the park in the match on Sunday, but I've already seen it. So my enthusiasm, my investment in it has kind of died a little bit.
Tag team titles you think are retained by Seth and Dean?
They're retained. Titles are retained by the champs.
So not a lot in the aspect of title changes right now. I totally think that right now Seth and Dean are the, tag team champions, and they will be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, they're the face of that tag team division right now.
Yeah, and then I feel bad for Sheamus and Cesaro. Like we said a long time ago, they worked their asses off to make this team great. But again, they could chase, and this could be a longer, prolonged feud. I mean, what is the rush? There is no rush to end this feud, and you kind of feel like, okay, they're kind of, all these guys are stuck in limbo, because right now, like we said, the world revolves around Brock, Braun, and Roman Reigns.
Yeah, like I said, and it's the land of the giants, so when you're in a scenario where you're not considered one of those giants, you're going to fall back in the limelight here, and it's not a demotion, but it's more of just, this is the spot we need you in right now, so you have to do the best you can with it.
Fatal 5-Way for the Raw Women's championship.
All right, Jeff, let me cut you off here real quick. I'm sorry. I know you like to go into an elaborate build-up of the match, but we don't need to. This thing's been built up for a while now. The whole scenario of the unfinished business between Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks wasn't enough to have two egos in there. Now we need to have Nia Jax in there, who I think it's still too soon for her. We have to have Emma in there, which I kind of like because it's something there. She can take the pin, and again, it's nice to see somebody different in there. And now we have to have Bayley come back. I mean, seriously, this is something that I talked about when Bayley did come back. They decided to make it a fatal five-way. I'm like, really? We couldn't wait till the next pay-per-view to have Bayley in. She has to be in this one. It just, to me, it's utter chaos in the women's division on both ends.
And Asa's going to be there shortly.
Yeah, and Asuka's going to be part of the whole Raw women's roster as well. So what space, what feuds are there outside the title? This is what I hate about it. We're talking about other rivalries. We talk about individual championships from the Universal working on our way down. And the women's title, it's great. I like that there's feuds and rivalries there. But if you're going to build up this women's revolution, there has to be something else other than the title you're going for. Can we start developing storylines? You have a three-hour show, Jeff. You're telling me in a three-hour show you cannot give me something. It doesn't have to be in the ring. A backstage segment which develops a storyline between Emma. Who knows? Emma and Nia Jax and have a rivalry go there. Or Bayley and Sasha start kind of feuding a little bit here in terms of jealousy. Or, you know, Sasha Banks calling out Asuka until she comes back. Who knows? Give me something different because it's all about the title. You know, and the champion Alexa Bliss gets lost in the shuffle.
It's crazy. At first you're thinking, okay, now they're going to build Nia Jax. She's challenging Alexa Bliss. There you go. But then you bring in Sasha Banks. Then you bring in Bayley, Emma, who's going to take the pin, by the way. And then, you know, you make it a fatal five-way. Plus you got Asuka coming. That whole division is going to be crazy. And just like I said with Nakamura, there is absolutely no way WWE can F this up. But you know what? Asuka, NXT, have her sealed, wrapped in a nice little bow so that WWE can mess her up. Because if she goes to Raw, man, I just don't see anything good coming out of it. Now, I don't know if she'd have a better future on SmackDown, but now Asuka coming back to the mix, and then not to mention you're not using Mickey James, you know, waste of talent there, and Dana Brooke, you're not using her. I mean, that is a logjam for the Raw Women's Championship.
Logjam just all for one thing, the women's title. I get it. If you're there, you want to go for the women's championship, but not everybody can go after the women's title. You have to give the storylines time to settle. And if you're going to give anything else, you have to create new storylines so we're invested. So when they do go for the title, it means something. But again,
who
makes
wins?
Too much sense. Who wins? I think somehow Alexa Bliss finds a way of retaining the title here. I really do. The odds are stacked against her, but again, that makes it even better and easy for her to retain it when you have a stacked card like this. So Bayley, Emma, Nia Jax, and Sasha, they all cancel each other out, and Alexa Bliss finds a way of retaining the title.
I'm going to go Nia Jax.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to change
too early for her, or what do you think?
Listen, I think she's a better wrestler than a lot of people give her credit for. A lot of people, you know, when she started out in NXT,
What is she? Is she a face? She a heel? What's going
on
tough.
Here? Again, she gets lost. She's like Roman Reigns. She's a tweener. She's that gray area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, listen, I want to say right now, I'm going to say Nia Jax, but I think Sunday, I'm going to be like Bayley. Just okay. Because it's in LA, and I'm going to say, like, listen, you know what? She needed the title back. It's she's coming back from injury. So that's what I'm leaning to. Alexa Bliss here doesn't have to get pinned. So there's the excuse right there. You know, Emma's going to take the pin, by the way. So I think, though, it's either be Nia Jax, but I would say my upset would be Bayley.
Okay. There you have it. And we're moving on from there. We're moving on to the WWE Cruiserweight title. We have Neville. Jeff has here written Neville versus Neville. Which is kind of accurate for the mere fact. Yeah, but it's kind of accurate for the fact that he's going up against himself. His only enemy is himself. I mean, going against Enzo Amore in this, you know, people can take it whatever way they want for the fact that I'm sticking it to Enzo Amore in terms of his talent and his ability in the ring.
You can't go wrong here. If you choose Neville, you
still win.
Yeah,
exactly. You win and lose at the same time. It's like a scratch. It's like when you place a bet on red or black, both bets on him, and you end up losing and never get anywhere with that. But with this one, it's intriguing because I think this is a huge challenge for Neville. He is the cornerstone. He's the staple of that Cruiserweight division. He has been ever since he came back from injury. Now with a guy like Enzo Amore, who brings more of that personality, he brings the audience with him because the audience likes him. It gives a different dynamic, more interest in the Cruiserweight division. Unlike what happened maybe a couple months ago when you had guys like Austin Aries and Neville and you just wanted to see this match, now you want to see the personalities more than anything. You could easily say 205 Live is a little stale, but I think this is a great challenge
a little
for
stale.
Neville. Jeez, Jeff's criticizing me for everything. I say the guy's atrocious. It's a little stale. What do you want, Jeff? Jesus Christ.
I'm flip-flopping a lot today.
Yeah, it's never good enough for Jeff, honestly. Jesus, man.
But I got to tell you this, man.
What?
I give credit because everyone says he's got so much heat in the back end zone, right? But yet they put him on at 10:30 at night, which is prime area to be put on, right? And then he gets beat up by Braun Strowman. And I love it, man. I love every time. And, you know, shame on him for ever giving up or cheating on Liv Morgan. Are you nuts? Are you stupid? Are you dumb? I mean, come on. But so he gets beat up.
Say all the above, basically.
And then if this guy is going to become the new Cruiserweight champion, shut down 205 Live. Get rid of that Cruiserweight division. Because you're telling me you guys got Cedric Alexander, you know, so much talent on that roster, and you're going to give that title to Enzo, and it's going to be a prop, it's going to be something to goof off. That, you might as well shut it down, because there's no way that Cruiserweight division or 205 Live can be taken seriously ever again.
Well, I don't think it can be taken seriously now. You know, because you just mentioned, when you're trying to mention all the talent, you mentioned Cedric Alexander, and that was it. You're kind of like, who else? Because it's kind of true. Nobody else is making their name out there.
Well, Rich Swann, you got
No,
Tony
I understand.
Nese.
But again, when you think of these names, yeah, they're good athletes. But does the general audience know who they are? You and I know who they are. People listening to the show know who they are. But, you know, if he's going to be the mouthpiece, I could see it happening. But I think this is a huge challenge for Neville, like I was making my point before, because he has the opportunity now to show how good he really is by making Enzo Amore look 10 times better than he ever could be. So,
and if he does that, he definitely earned his paycheck that night.
He definitely did, and I think he will.
And now the man versus man match.
I have Neville retaining the title here.
Neville?
Yes.
I got Neville. I would be a slap in the face if Enzo Amore were to become the Cruiserweight champion.
Well, like I say, Jeff, is turn the other cheek.
And I might have to.
Yeah.
Because it's probably going to be bruised up after this matchup. So hopefully Neville comes out.
I'm not talking about his matchup. I'm about to slap you in the face.
Why are you that mad?
Flip-flopping
well,
on
you're,
me
you're,
all the
you're angry. You're sleeping in.
And you're a flip-flopper. That's what you are.
Neville. I can't get Neville out of my head. Finn Balor and Bray Wyatt. Man versus man match here. So,
and Neville's in this one, I think, too.
I think I put Neville in there. Listen.
Man versus man match. As there would be anything else.
Listen, I guess Finn Balor's going to win. He has to win.
He has to win, yeah. And again, this just is another example of Bray
Wyatt. He's going to win whether he wants to or not.
Yeah, that makes more sense in this match as well. You know, what I found interesting about this, Jeff, is that when I first thought this rivalry was going to start, I thought, wow, this is a great dynamic to show a lot of different layers and different characteristics from Finn Balor. Obviously, Bray Wyatt has the ability of talking on the mic, but here's my problem with Bray Wyatt, though, is that, you know, and I don't know if this is a fault against him, but his track record has not been good. So everything he says to this point on means absolutely nothing to me. Words are meaningless if there are no actions.
Like when I talk to you, right?
Yeah, exactly. Words are meaningless, Jeff. And like, you're just a perfect example of Bray Wyatt, because his track record has been so bad that when it's come to those big moments, he's lost. At SummerSlam, he lost to the Demon, but now the excuse is, well, he lost to the Demon. He didn't lose to Finn Balor. Okay, I get it. But at the same time, I'm wondering why Finn Balor doesn't use the same excuse on Bray Wyatt. If Bray Wyatt's the eater of worlds, if he's a god, then he's just a mortal man. Then why does he lose against John Cena? Why did you lose the WWE Championship against Randy Orton? Why did you lose to me at SummerSlam? Isn't a god supposed to be bigger and stronger than a demon? So, like I said, he's throwing all this at Finn Balor, which it's all helped to build him up. But at the same time, maybe we should throw some truth. And I think with Raw, you're seeing a lot of that now. People just kind of shooting, whether it's scripted
like
or
the
not.
Shooting, yes.
Yeah, and a lot of people can see I did the gun thing here. But Bullet Club would be proud of that. But it needs to have more sense of reality, because as much as I appreciate this whole paranormal stuff, it's not working anymore. We need to be based on reality. The Undertaker is not a dead man. He is just a man who plays dead. You know, okay, that's it. Bray Wyatt, you are a eater of the worlds. You follow the buzzards, whatever you want to do. But at the same time, at the end of the day, you are a god living in the a human entity here. So let's be a little bit more realistic here.
All right, so we both got Finn.
Got Finn going.
Just because Bray can't back up his smack.
Can't back up his smack.
And then, of course, the match.
They get the smack kicked out of him, usually after this.
And, of course, the match, all anticipated for John Cena and Roman Reigns. Listen, the buildup has been fine. I think everyone's been talking about the promos. That's kind of been the main focal point here. John Cena not at the go-home show. Roman Reigns got his last chance to stick it to John Cena. Your thoughts, man? I think this has A good match quality. This has WrestleMania feel. But again, this is going to be the ultimate passing of the torch. Roman Reigns, hands down, beats John Cena.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's basically just a passing of the torch. And again, give credit where credit is due with John Cena. You know, something that we were already looking forward to seeing, and the way that John Cena has gone on verbally assaulted. Is that okay if I use that word, Jeff? Abused Roman Reigns. Just proves the fact that because all this stuff is being put on him, he's going to overcome it like he usually does in these types of situations. And Roman Reigns will be the guy now to be the face of WWE and take over John Cena's spot. Will it work? I don't know. We had the issue with Hulk Hogan passing the torch to the Ultimate Warrior. It didn't ultimately work in the end, so I don't know. I don't think it's the last we've seen of John Cena. He's going to take a little hiatus again to make another movie. But with this, I don't think it helps Roman Reigns, because ultimately everybody's been against it. Everybody's actually, believe it or not, been on the side of John Cena, cheering him on more than they are Roman Reigns. So very interesting dynamic. And a lot of people say, oh, why do they hate Roman Reigns? You know, I think John Cena just basically explained it very well. And again, I have nothing against Roman Reigns, the human being. It's the character that annoys me, because the character to me isn't authentic. You look at John Cena, he goes out there and he says what's on his mind. He reacts. When you have a guy like Roman Reigns, unfortunately, it's not his forte. He's good in the ring. When it comes to the microphone, it still lacks a lot of things. If you're going to be the main person, the face of this company, you have to have those intangibles. You don't have to be a John Cena by any stretch of the imagination, but you have to have that ability to do it. I think he does, but when John Cena basically took him to school and last show, the go-home run, John Cena didn't even need to be there for Roman Reigns to bury himself. That's pretty bad in my opinion. But again, ultimately, I see Roman Reigns winning this. The torch will be supposedly passed on, but I don't think it helps Roman Reigns at any extent in terms of him gaining over the crowd. Maybe a possible heel turn. There have been hints of that. That would be interesting to see.
The dynamic of this match being good, is there a better chance or is there more of a chance that it's not a good match?
I think it's likely it's going to be a good match. I don't think it will be what we live up in our minds for it to be.
Remember, AJ Styles is not in this match.
No, he's not in this match.
He's not, you know, leading Cena and Roman Reigns to a good match. It's going to be between these two guys. So it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic and just how they gel in the ring.
This is only a test, Jeff, for Roman Reigns in terms of being that next guy to be passed the torch over. This is a big strength for Roman Reigns to see if he can take a guy like John Cena and work well with him. That's going to be, to me, the thing I'm looking at the most. How good can this match be, and how much of it is it going to be John Cena dictating the pace or Roman Reigns dictating the pace? That'll be interesting to watch.
So that is the Jersey Wrecking Crew No Mercy preview. As they get ready for No Mercy, SmackDown gets ready for Hell in a Cell. Just your thoughts on Charlotte becoming the new number one contender. All I gotta say is, man, thank God.
Just thank God she's back. It's great to see her there. They're going full-blown babyface here on this one, which, okay, if that's the direction you're going to go, fine. And I have nothing against watching Natty and Charlotte in the ring, because these two have proven, whether it be NXT TakeOver for the NXT Women's Championship, whether it have been like an 8-minute segment on Raw, these two are really good together in the ring.
Or Roadblock, when they took on each other at Roadblock.
Yeah, and I stand corrected. Thank you, Jeff, and Roadblock as well. These two have great chemistry with one another, and I just can't wait to see what they offer now. It's a little different pace now. Now it's Natty is the champion, which you never thought we'd see in this time, in this lifetime anymore, and Charlotte going after the title that's been eluding her. It hasn't been that easy. It hasn't been an easy transition to SmackDown Live for her. So now, can she get over the hump? I don't think that'll happen. But we'll discuss that more as Hell in a Cell approaches. But again, I'm excited to see this matchup.
I'm just excited that we're getting to see Charlotte now in the, you know, main event type matches again.
Where she belongs, man.
It's been a long time. Been good 3-4 months that we haven't seen Charlotte where she deserves to be, and that is on the upper echelon SmackDown roster.
You always got to watch out for Carmella, though. She's sneaking around there.
Exactly. That is also the wild card in there. And then, of course, Kevin Owens continues to just kill it on the promos. If you saw that promo after the headbutt around the world, and you talk about Kevin Owens, this is now a different Kevin Owens. This is the sadistic, this is the more unapologetic guy of what he's going to do to Shane McMahon at Hell in a Cell. I'm looking forward to this matchup. I really think that this is going to be a thorough beatdown for Shane McMahon, and I think this is going to build a Kevin Owens character to be even more crazy than he's ever been. You know what I mean? So I think this is a great opportunity, and no one better to do it than Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is also a special talent.
There's no question he's a special talent. I don't know if it's going to be an all-out beating on Kevin Owens against Shane McMahon. I don't know if it's going to go that route.
It should be all about building this Kevin Owens
Jeff,
character.
Just because you want something to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen, okay? How much experience do you know now looking at this business that's not the case? I don't think it's going to happen, though. That's just my opinion. If you don't like it, well, tough luck, Jeff, because I think it is going to help build Kevin Owens into that new demeanor, that new dimension we haven't seen in a long time. We haven't seen him that way because all we've seen Kevin Owens from Raw, now moving into SmackDown, is the goofy, clumsy, screaming and yelling. Now it's a more sinister one. So definitely a new level for Kevin Owens here. And like I said, I think it's nothing but shows a lot of respect that Vince McMahon has to let somebody headbutt him for that fact, but also how much trust he has in a guy like Kevin Owens. Because again, he has all this experience, and now I think having the ability to work with Shane McMahon, although most people wouldn't think working with Shane McMahon is such a huge thing, but it's going to give him the opportunity to go to that next level and maybe now work his way into the WWE title picture.
And listen, you can say, you know, working with Shane McMahon is a big thing. A lot of people were going to say that, but if you look at WrestleMania, a lot of people remember the AJ Styles Shane McMahon match. So Shane McMahon does have a draw, so you do want to see him fight. And I was wrong at WrestleMania because that was ended up being probably the match of the night for WrestleMania. So I'm looking forward to Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon. One thing that I'm really upset about, and I was wrong too, and I'll admit it, man, the whole Jinder Mahal push has just been crap.
It's brutal.
Brutal. I don't know who's writing this, and when you write, who writes this shit? You know what I mean? That's you're like, who writes this crap? And let me tell you something. I feel for Shinsuke Nakamura because I was wrong. I was completely wrong again on this. I thought, you know, after his NXT run, you've shined him up real nice. He's ready to go. SmackDown night after WrestleMania, second night after WrestleMania, SmackDown Live. Boom, there he goes. Shinsuke Nakamura, the man, and they have absolutely buried this guy. And you talk about that promo, you think Shinsuke Nakamura, a man of his reputation coming from New Japan, a man who's accomplished everything he's done, a man who is absolutely probably one of the best wrestlers in the WWE right now, to be disrespected like that? He didn't come all the way to the U.S. for that, and that is an insult, and that pisses the hell out of me, man. That is Shinsuke Nakamura, and the worst thing is he doesn't even show up to back it up, to fight for it. He lets, you know, whether it's creative's opinion to not have him come out, they're burying him, man, and that's just, that doesn't sit well with me.
I don't think it sits well with anybody. I think the payoff will be eventually Shinsuke will defeat Jinder Mahal for the WWE Championship, so that's why they're preventing him from rebutting and retaliating against
Jinder Mahal.
Dude,
that tour in India, they're not going to take the title off him until the tour of India is done, and that's a ways away. So, I mean,
you never say never, Jeff. I mean, that's not 100% guaranteed just because they're touring India. He's going to be
I hope you're right, man, because this total disrespect is like, and you see how far. Listen, I'm not going to say.
Besides the disrespect, Jeff, it's just in poor taste. I mean, people are chanting that went too far.
Is it racist in your mind?
Yeah, a little bit here, but at the same time, he's playing that card pretty close to the vest of that character, Jinder Mahal. To me, what I just don't like, and I shake my head at, is not necessarily the poor taste of jokes or whether it's racist or not. It's just bad. It's just really bad, where you're just like, all right, can you finish the segment? Because you know what? I'm close to changing the channel. That's what it comes down to for me, at least. And the mere fact that we haven't seen Shinsuke for 2 straight weeks, and maybe he's done a couple backstage segments talking about what Jinder Mahal has said, it, to me, isn't good enough. I want to see Shinsuke Nakamura in the ring. Give me that. That's what I want to see. Jinder Mahal coming out week after week now and doing this terrible stand-up comedy act is honestly, really? We're doing this now? Let's do some more backstage segments. At least I would enjoy that more instead of wasting people's time in the ring. But yeah, that's the direction they're going to go. It's poor taste, in my opinion. The payoff will be you like to think Shinsuke defeating Jinder Mahal and sticking it to him that way. But, you know, it just kind of also proves, too, that they have no confidence in Shinsuke right now to rebuttal back talking, which makes me think if Shinsuke can't be any worse than Jinder right now. I'm not trying to attack Jinder, but I'm just going to call a spade, Jeff. He's just terrible at promoting of doing these promos. So any advice Vince McMahon is giving him, if he's at all praising him in the ring for the delivery he's giving, I don't know. Maybe Vince McMahon got headbutted in the head too hard.
So you got a lot of stuff coming up, man. No Mercy. Hell in a Cell's coming up soon, too, from SmackDown Live. But what if I told you, dude, you got a chance to go on a boat cruise with your idol? Would you be up for that?
Oh, yeah. Jeez. Jaden James? Yeah, I would love to be on
a boat. No, not her.
Oh,
I don't know
okay.
What kind of cruise that is. How about your man Chris Jericho with his cruise next year? Would you be down for that?
That'd be something I'd be interested in. Yeah, I don't know why my voice went that high, but yes, I'd be interested in it.
The Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea Cruise, only by Chris Jericho. He's going to have so many people on, hosted by Jim Ross. He's going to have DDP, Mick Foley, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Rey Mysterio, Raven. The guys from Busted Open will be there. The Keeping It 100 with Conan, Disco Inferno, Hurricane Helms, Lance Storm and Cyrus from Killing the Town and Beyond the Darkness podcast. Everyone's going to be there, plus Rock
Wait,
and
where,
Roll.
Where are we?
I don't know, man. We have to crash the party.
Where's the high spot pot? I mean, I gave Jericho a shirt at his last book signing. Jeez, do you think he could put us on the freaking tour, man?
How about this guy, though? Everything he touches turns to gold. I'm pretty sure that this thing is going to be, just like everything else, going to be success.
It's a glorified wrestle vessel, in my opinion, you know, back in the old days.
And Sea of Honor. He's going to have the guys from Ring of Honor there compete in a tournament. Maybe Ken Omega is on there. How much would you pay to see that?
Oh, you know Ken's going to be there. If Chris is doing it, yeah, definitely Ken will be there. Hopefully he's recovered from injury from that point on. But, yeah, it's great. You're right. It just shows the dynamic of Chris. You know, him doing things outside of what's the social norms in his sense and really just taking risk and chance. You know, he wouldn't do this if he didn't think it was a good idea. And, you know, ultimately, a lot of stuff that Jericho's done recently, whether it be his new book coming out, going on tour with Fozzy, his WWE runs, letting his hair grow long for some weird reason, now he's doing it. But, yeah, whatever he does, it's a conscious decision. And he's more in tune now with his brand than anybody. So he knows what's good for him. So I think this is going to be a very successful thing. And, you know, kudos to anybody who goes because they're going to have a great time, whether it be music or wrestling, both combined together. It's going to be a great time.
I got to check on the prices, man. We got to do that.
I don't do water, Jeff.
You don't do water?
I don't do water.
Really?
No, I'm a mammal. I'm a land mammal. I don't go near the water unless
wow.
I'm flying over it.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yes.
Wow, so it's out of the question for the trendsetter. The trendsetter only is by...
Yeah, a few drinks under me, I don't know. But again, like I said, we'll find out what the price is.
So you have an amazing weekend. You've got No Mercy. Then, of course, anticipation to Hell in a Cell from SmackDown Live brand. But you also have got Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor. The headliner is going to be the Ring of Honor champion, Cody Rhodes.
Don't call him Cody.
No, no, no.
Call him Cody. Don't call him Rhodes.
Well, don't ever call him Rhodes, as we found out on Talking
Jericho.
Yeah,
don't call him Cody. I was like, no, call him Cody.
Yeah, Cody. And then he takes on the New Japan Never Open Champion Minoru Suzuki. This guy is crazy. If you've seen him before, it's his first time in 23 years. He's coming to fight in the States. It's going to be an amazing match. If you want to see the Briscoes, you want to see the Young Bucks, you want to see the Kingdom, you want to see Bubba Ray Dudley, this is your time to catch it on Friday night on pay-per-view Ring of Honor, Death Before Dishonor.
You lost me, awesome, Bubba Ray.
It's going to be awesome, man. Friday night? Yeah, Friday. Then you got Sunday to watch No Mercy. It's going to be an amazing weekend of wrestling. And we're going to recap before you here next week on the High Spot Podcast. But again, thank you to B Plus Player Radio Network, Mark Adam Haggerty. Thank you so much. Follow us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast and also on the Instagram and the Snapchat, the Facebook page. Also, follow us on iTunes. Leave a review. Tell us how good job we're doing. There are so many ways to now catch the High Spot Podcast on Google Play, on Stitcher, everywhere. Let us know how we're doing, and that's all thanks to B Plus Player Radio Network. And also visit our website, highspotpodcast.com. I am Jeff Martin, trendsetter. This show has been dedicated to Bobby the Brain Heenan. There will be nobody like you. And again, we pay homage to the man, because when you think of Bobby the Brain Heenan, you think of everything he's done in the business. It is just too sweet. Miss you, Bobby.